Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more of The Score's post-game show, presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything wood should be. Visit TimberTech.com. And by Aturo Tire, Chicago's hometown tire. Find a dealer at Aturo.com. And now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Welcome back. It is the football postgame show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. And it's time for the hot and the cold, sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the professionals. Available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And who's hot and who's cold? I just think it's the best game of Caleb Williams' young career. We probably have to give it to him. We could give it to more people. Certainly Tyreek Stevenson, who was named cold earlier today, representatively. So Caleb, I guess, will be the representative this time. As far as cold, genius idea here. Cold would be Matt Eberflus, who is in a deep freeze. Coming back
once
to
a bear,
Chicago.
Always a bear, right? Chicago has not been good to him, man.
Yeah, Floosie's gonna
no.
Floose. if the Lions are gonna lie, and then Matt Eberflus is gonna Matt Eberflus. That's so mean. I don't think he got a bad reception or anything. I don't even know if many people were aware he was there. Maybe early, little bit, but just a little. So. Thank you, Matt Eberflus.
Hey, guys, let's just hope that if Caleb keeps getting the hot every weekend, that means the Bears are winning. Hopefully this is the first of many. That's what I want to hear. I want to say
the offensive player of the week.
I want it to not be a debate.
Yeah, NFC offensive player of the week. What do you think?
Four touchdowns. Why not?
Pretty good.
It'd be nice. It'd be nice
to
have a quarterback.
No turnovers, no picks, no fumbles, no sacks.
No sacks.
Yeah, it'd be nice for our quarterback, man. And you know, Pat, to the bigger point that we were making earlier is just – how efficient he was throughout the game, right? How efficient he was at the line of scrimmage, something we've heard a lot about, and how efficient he was from the pocket, in the pocket, playing the game, executing, going through his progressions, getting the ball out, finding the open man, letting his playmakers make plays, things that they're asking him to do up there. And credit to Ben Johnson and his staff and Declan Doyle and Coach Barrett and those guys for saying, look, this is what we have to do to win football games consistently in the NFL. And I said a lot last week, do it instead of tell us about it. Well, today we saw them do it. So credit to them for doing it today and getting after a Dallas Cowboys team and finding a win and looking good and efficient doing it.
Yeah, and Olin, another thing is his eyes were up. You know, we hear all these quarterback gurus on The Score talk about, you know, your eyes got to stay up when you're in the pocket, you get a little bit of pressure sliding in the pocket. There were a few times in the past where we've seen him take off. You know what I mean? He'll take off and run, put his eyes down, and just look for that first down, where to me it looks like he's being coached. Keep your eyes up, find the open receiver. He did that today. I think there was one time on that, maybe it was the Wildcat end around where, you know, Tom Brady pointed out, whoever was coming across the middle, that if he kept his eyes up, he could have hit him. But that's a different play. But I thought overall, just he looks more like a quarterback in command. He looks like what I want to see are the successful quarterbacks we've seen in the quarterback play from the pocket. And he looked very comfortable everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the phone lines. We'll start with John from Mount Prospect. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, boys? We're coming back from the game. I'm with my son Jack and the two super fans, Charlie and Graham. I got to tell you, after years of suffering, of watching just offensive ineptitude, it felt so good to watch a professional, competent offense, a competent play caller, a competent quarterback with a high ceiling. They just looked in control this game, right? It's like I felt like they weren't just going to give it up like they've done so many times. And let me ask you one question. The connection between Rome and Caleb, I think something's there. It's like huge game last week from Rome, right? 100-plus yards, multiple touchdowns. Comes through again today with a touchdown. I think something's building there, that relationship for today and the future that can lead to big things for the Bears. What do you guys think?
Yeah, John, I see it. I hope so. I mean, these are two guys that came in together that seem like they're friends, buddies, or whatever, but they're both super talented players. And I do see that, but I'm really upset. I was about to say a bad word, that Rome needed 1.5 more yards and I would have had a good parlay with him and Colson Loveland again. He came up with 62 yards instead of 63 and a half yards. And I owe Grody $8.50 because I did hit on my Colson bet.
Look at that.
It is amazing how these Vegas guys know. It's like 1 yard away, right? But, John, Jack, Charlie, Graham, super fans, thanks for listening. But Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams, that is the goal, right? That is the dream, that they become this connection that is hard to stop. And Rome has looked really, really good in the last game. Mm-hmm. He's open, and to Mully's point, every once in a while, he'll drop one or two of them, and it frustrates you, but he is getting open. He is making plays. Caleb does seem to find him in critical moments and look for him, but it was also good to see Cole Kmet and Luther Burden and Colson Loveland. Hopefully he's okay today, and DJ Moore and everybody in the mix when they did build what I like to call this 7-on-7 team, right? This dangerous 7-on-7 team. It was good to see them out there moving around, getting open, and their playmaker, Ben Johnson, putting in position to make plays. And Caleb, Pat, not trying to do too much. Just get the ball in his playmaker's hands.
I loved that they got a touchdown pass for DJ Moore, because early in the game, I thought, wow, they're playing him at running back. Maybe the quarterback won't throw to him. Maybe they don't like each other. I don't know what I think sometimes with those two. But it was just great that he caught a touchdown pass. And I think they said on the broadcast, Tom Rinaldi may have said it, that he compared DJ Moore to Deebo Samuel. And we know that DJ didn't like that comparison. So I guess Caleb didn't hear him say that he was DJ, he wasn't Deebo, and whatever that whole exchange was. Sometimes I worry about their chemistry because I think he can be a really good player. But you're certainly right about the fact that the 7-on-7 team that we've heard so much about seems to finally have appeared.
Mm-hmm. You know what's great? We have a problem. Who gets the ball?
Yes.
Somebody's going to complain. I think that's a great thing, right? I have no problem with that. I'm sure that there's going to be games where Rome goes off, DJ goes off, Luther hopefully goes off, that it just kind of goes around, you know, kind of matchups, what the game plan is. And this is a good problem to have. I kind of like it. I go back to when Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey were playing. I remember Brandon would be a little upset if Alshon went off because he wanted his catches. You know, those receivers can be a little selfish, which is fine.
Brandon Marshall,
but as long
upset,
as you're winning.
I don't believe you.
Oh, never in public, though. Wait, what? No, but that's a good problem to have. Like, I was like, all right, fine. Brandon's over there upset because he only, you know, had 52 yards instead of having Alshon had a 100-plus yard game or whatever and two TDs, but we won the game. We're putting up yards, and that's a good problem to have. But, you know, I think all receivers should complain. The good ones always do, right, if they're not getting the ball.
Let's get
to...
Sorry, go ahead, Olin.
No, I was going to ask you guys if you guys thought when Schottenheimer, he decided to kick that field goal on 4th-and-2, and we said coming to this game that both teams are probably going to have to score about 30 points, right, to win the game. And I thought that when – I was wondering if you guys thought that when he kicked that field goal, Ben said, okay, this is what I'm going to throw my flea flicker, right? Like, okay, you're going to play scared. I'm going after points this game. I thought that was a big statement by him when it was like, you kick field goals, I throw flea flickers.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I thought like they brought him out and they tried to get him to jump and they didn't bite. And then they settled for the field goal. I was surprised, given the way they were moving the ball, that they settled for the field goal, frankly. I thought they would go. And they didn't they mention that the numbers say go for it from there? But then again, that kicker, we talked about that guy, you know, he's pretty automatic.
Yeah, yeah, but I thought that – and Pat, they did it twice. They kicked the field goal twice on their first two drives.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's credit to the defense too. They were bending, but they didn't break. And I got nervous, like we said earlier, with that the 7 yards per carry in the first half. But again, credit to the defense. If they do that and they only give up field goals, I mean, we were used to that Olin with Lovey's defense that, you know, they get down to the 20-yard line. Next thing you know, you're bottling them up and they're kicking field goals. That's fine by me. But again, Dennis Allen, we questioned him going into this game. He put a good game plan together, stepped up with a depleted defense, and only allowed 14 points.
I thought, though, when they scored the touchdown and got the two-point conversion, that's when I thought, like, oh, boy, you know, here we go. It all the hard work and the explosive plays, they just caught up to him so quickly. And then, you know, it worked out great, obviously, but that kind of gave you a little bit of pause.
It did, but I think that was Coach Allen's plan, right? That maybe I can't stop them, but I'll keep them in front of me,
right?
And hopefully get them to make a mistake or get a penalty, right? And before their second field goal, Pat, is 3rd and 3, and Guyton jumps, right? And that's exactly, I think, what Dennis Allen's plan was. And to your point, Mully, they tie the game up there, but think if they actually scored the first two drives touchdowns.
Oh,
then
yeah.
The Bears are down and it's not tied, right? So trying to get them to kick field goals, I would imagine. When Dennis Allen was in his room, this week, he was like, okay, if we can just get them to kick field goals and not be as explosive. Now, that obviously was with CeeDee Lamb in mind, right? Okay, if we can keep everything in front of us, cause a few takeaways like Tyreek Stevenson got and all the takeaways they had today, then we can stay in this game and outscore them.
They did, guys. And that 19-play drive. Huge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Ate up the entire third quarter. So that just takes probably 2.5 possessions away from the Cowboys, right? That they can't come back from a deficit after that. I mean, that was absolutely just – it was really impressive. I think Brad Biggs tweeted that it's the first 19-play drive since 2001.
Wow.
I mean, but 19-play, that's a long drive anyway. But that broke their back. I mean,
end it on a fourth and four touchdown. Yep. Wow. I mean, that really – so you're not only did you take the whole quarter away from them, but you just – you know, you end up with points and you go – I mean, it was – that was it. You felt great about them after that. And I don't think anyone scored after that either.
Think that Rex Ryan was excited when they showed CeeDee Lamb's ankle?
I don't know.
That was so weird, man.
If I
like,
told you
to
once, I've told you a thousand times. I don't think the ankle part is what he enjoys.
We did get a full shot of his full foot walking off the field.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, what are they showing us here? Like the guy's ankle?
I thought, wait a minute. I didn't know what part of the anatomy it was, and I thought maybe.
Oh, no. Where are we going?
I was going to make a cankle joke. I didn't know where that was going.
These post-game shows are a lot better after a win, man.
They're fun after day. Thank you to the Bears for a good win today, man.
Yes. Amen.
All right. Let's try Sam. Sam's from Rockford. Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. Good.
So I just want to talk about the Bears win, obviously. Last year, we only scored 28 points maximum. So this game, we scored 31, which is amazing. There's a lot of creative plays. We got the younger cast involved. Burton went for 101 yards. Colston got involved. You know, Komet caught a touchdown. All the mouths were fed. How do you think a younger cast has impacted Caleb Williams?
Pat, I think they're getting comfortable together. In this game, obviously watching them, I think the new coaching staff has impacted Caleb Williams. And yes, we talked about Dak Prescott going into the game, that it was his 125th start. When you talk about why he's so efficient at the line of scrimmage, and he knows what he's looking for, how to get guys lined up in and out of the huddle. And Caleb is getting more experience, and you just want to see him keep taking more and more steps.
Yeah, and Caleb outplayed Dak, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. And I asked Brian Broad, I forgot his name, our Dallas guest at the beginning, I asked, is Dak elite? And he looked elite the first 2 weeks this week. I was like, oh, my gosh, maybe he has kind of turned the corner and reading defenses and being executing that offense great. He didn't today. And it was just nice to see Caleb outplay the other quarterback, and he did handedly. And again, let's just keep seeing that. I mean, I don't know if we're going to see four touchdowns and zero interceptions every week and almost 300 yards, but everything else we saw today at the line of scrimmage, in the pocket, just game management, everything he was doing, that was excellent. And we just need to see more of that.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna take another timeout. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Football Postgame Show, presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Blitz coming. Prescott doesn't see it, and he gets dropped. Bears get home with the first sack of the game. It's Dominique Robinson.
Yeah, Guyton gets beat on the left side. They also have an inside pressure. A little cross blitz, but no chance with Guyton getting beat off the ball there by Robinson. Straight to the quarterback. Dak actually does a nice job of holding on to that ball, but that's the type of play this defense needs and that Dennis Allen's waiting for, so he can get him in these third and longs and deal with this very difficult blitz package. Look at all those guys up there.
Welcome back to the Football Postgame Show. We've got Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, and it is, of course, presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. And that is our hit of the game. It's sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for over 100 years. Estwing.com. The Dominique Robinson sack was the first of four in the game for the Chicago Bears, who also got four takeaways in the game. And as we mentioned earlier, normally you dominate those kind of statistics. You're going to win games, and it was fairly obvious that the four takeaways meant a lot, and four sacks when Caleb Williams is not sacked for the first time in his NFL career. Big stuff, pretty big, important stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was a complete game, guys. And when they got up like they did late in the fourth quarter, you want to see the sacks coming. You want to see Montez Sweat get that sack. You know, that's what he's paid to do, to kind of end the games like that. And it was good to see. So just a complete game all around. I mean, 31-14 was great, but I'm going to give all the credit to the Bears, but I'm also going to say this. The Cowboys looked like the Bears the last week, right? They had those penalties you were talking about on a couple of those runs.
Yes.
They had the interceptions. They had just inopportune plays. They looked like a bad football team. But good football teams and better football teams do that to teams. And the Bears played a complete game. And all the credit in the world to them. And I'm just excited to see what they did today. But hopefully they can do that against better competition. And hopefully they can continue getting better.
Yeah, 31-14 is a convincing win, Molly and Pat.
Yep.
And a lot of big plays in that game by Chicago Bears. And Dominique Robinson-Sagg, Montez Sweat, the four takeaways. We talked about this coming into the show, man. The four touchdowns by the young quarterback and just play after play and a coach saying, look, you can kick field goals. I'm going to throw flea flickers and go for it on fourth down. I know what kind of game this is, right? I thought Ben Johnson's game management improved today and his thought of how the Bears needed to win this football game by scoring 30 points. Now, credit Dennis Allen, man. He only gave 14 to a team, yep. And we know CeeDee Lamb is down, but we talked about earlier. So is Jalen Johnson, so is Kyler Gordon, and so is TJ Edwards. So if you're looking for a team to feel bad for you, the Cowboys, you got the wrong team, right? You got the wrong team. We don't feel bad. We want to win this football game. Credit to the Chicago Bears for winning the football game, and we said earlier to Ben Johnson for getting his first win in the NFL.
Yeah, we have some audio of him. Would you like to hear his reaction to the victory and his first win of his career?
Yes, please.
Shall we?
Why not?
Baby T.
Colston was the only one that didn't finish the game. He's got a hip. We'll see how that looks tomorrow. I told the guys in the locker room our really points of emphasis going into the week were playing great situational football, and I'm talking about third down, red zone, and in 2 minute. And I thought they really answered that bell. I thought we were statistically better than that team in all three of those areas, and that's that was good formula for us to come out on top here this week. And so thought a number of guys played really outstanding football. Two of the game balls went to Caleb. You know, I'm looking at his numbers. 142.6 passer rating and four touchdowns. I thought he was really good. And you know, the thing that you don't see on the stat sheet is he's getting a lot more comfortable calling those plays in the huddle. We were able to get out of the huddle a little bit faster, and we were able to get on the line and operate a little bit cleaner as well. So was proud of him for that. And then defensively, once again, a number of guys stood out to us, but Tremaine got the other game ball. He was all over the field, 14 tackles, two interceptions, and really came through for us in a big way. With that, I'll go ahead and open it up.
Ben, today's game, no complaints. What was it like for you to have your vision, everything that you've been trying to get engineered here, materialize on the field?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, the first 2 weeks have not gone the way we wanted to, and it's early, and but we got to get the issues fixed, and I thought the guys were committed to that here this week, and we had a good week of preparation, and they came out and they played inspired football today, and so good things happen when you're playing hard, you're playing physical, and you're playing for the guy next to you, and I thought that's what happened here today.
On the flea flicker, DeAndre said it. He got hit when he threw it. He described it as like he shot a free throw back to Caleb. What did you see from Caleb on the quick release to be able to turn that around?
Yeah, when you're asking particular questions, I'll have to watch the tape on all this stuff. I just know that the ball handling looked a little bit iffy from my perspective, and those guys handled it really well. Caleb handled it really well, and he was able to throw a really nice pass there to Luther, and Luther turned the corner and scored.
Did you put that in this week, and what was the kind of thought process of putting that play in, especially running it that particular time right after Caleb throws a touchdown?
Yeah, we have gadgets up every week. I give the staff a lot of credit. They're going through and, they're watching the tape and finding out things that may or may not fit from whether it was Dallas this year or some of the stuff we're watching of Chicago's defense from yesteryear. So that was really a staff find. And like I said, we worked it all week and felt really comfortable calling it this week.
Coach, what went into your decision to let them all hang out, so to speak, on the fourth and goal decision to go for the touchdown and basically put it away?
Yeah, have a plan going into the game, just where you're going to go for it on fourth down, and we got it inside the five, and I felt good about it there.
What was the reaction on the sideline when Tyreek makes that play in the first quarter, and how much do you think that changed the game for you?
Yeah, I think we had four turnovers and didn't give away the ball at all, so I thought it was huge. That early in the game, they were able to run the ball a little bit on our defense, and we knew that they were going to be able to move the ball. It's a very explosive offense. They got playmakers all over the place. Their offensive lines are really good. They got three first-rounders up there, and you know, I thought we came through with timely plays when we needed it, and that's a good example of it. I thought Tyreek in general had a really nice bounce back game. He's one of those guys, like a lot of us, that we haven't started the season the way we wanted to yet. He's capable of being a big time player in this league, and I thought he played that way today.
On that fourth down play, DJ, we asked DJ about it. He said he had no doubt that you were going to go for it there. Is that the kind of attitude you've been trying to, I guess, build in the locker room? The guys know, have confidence that you're going to go.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily tell them when I am or when I'm not. But yet, I don't think they're surprised at this point with how the preseason went and the first couple games went that we'll go for it anywhere on the field.
Matt, yep. Your first win as a head coach, probably a moment you've dreamt about for a long time. Will you be able to let that set in?
Yeah, it'll be fun for tonight, and then we're on to the next one. You know, we're behind the eight ball here. We're 1-2, and we got to get back to 500 here.
What was going on with Darnell Wright? He came out and then was, the whole time on the sideline, he was kind of flexing his hand.
Yeah, he had an elbow, and he was able to. I think he's gonna be fine.
Then in the second half, seeing the defensive line start to get to Dak, what do you think changed for them? Where it seemed like a struggle the first couple of weeks, but now it seems like they were sort of getting it at will, especially toward the end of the game.
Yeah, well, when you're up by multiple scores and it turns into a drop back game, it makes it a lot simpler to tee off. And so, they really did a nice job in those situations. We talked about that 2-minute stuff being a big deal for us, and I thought the way we handled the end of the first half on both sides of the ball was really good. And then, same thing, the way they finished the game there in the fourth quarter for us was huge.
How much should we draw a connection between the way you challenge your team publicly during the weeks and the way they responded today?
I don't know. They did a good job today.
Did you see a lot of your with Caleb? Did you see a lot of your coaching points with him materializing as far as using his eyes to throw the defense off of where he was headed with the ball, things like that?
I have to go back and look. You know, when I'm in the moment there, I'm just trying to see the result of the play and where we're at and keep the thing moving for him. So these are good questions for tomorrow.
I have another one for you. On the flea flicker, were you able to tell how well it worked? Were you able to tell, like, multiple guys open downfield, anything like that?
I saw when the ball was in the air that Luther was open.
There you go. He saw Luther wide open. Hey, that was fun. That's fun for him, right? I mean, first victory of his tenure. And he didn't, he kind of downplayed whether his calling out the team, the practice stuff, the way he kind of preached to them to be more physical, how that worked. He didn't seem to want to claim that was a big part of it. Is that interesting to you guys, or is that the mentality in the NFL you're moving on?
I think I liked it, Pat. I think I liked that press conference there. I think I liked the where he's going with a lot of stuff. I think after the first couple games, he took a lot of responsibility, right? He did. He said that he had to call better plays, said that he had to do a better job, and then he came out after the second loss Monday and said, look, man, we have to practice better. Our practice habits are not good. And he didn't really say anybody. And like we talked about, sometimes when you say that, you're talking about the coaching staff too. Talking about everybody in the building's practice habits are not good, because the coaches, let's be honest, are a big part of practice, right? They're a big part of getting their guys to concentrate on the details and the focus. And like you're saying, Mully, credit to Coach Johnson there for saying, look, we won the game. We're still 1-2. We're still behind. Talking about Tremaine Edmonds, right, Pat? And talking about the plays he made. And he made a lot of good plays. And Caleb Williams. And then just really putting the focus on what is next.
Yeah, I loved his tone, like just the way he, you know, he wasn't overexcited, man. Come on, the guy won his first NFL game as a head coach. You got to be somewhat excited, right? Maybe he had that in the coach's meeting room or his coach's office and all that stuff. But the way he is acting in front of the media, the way he's standing up and talking about his team, I really like it. And Olin, I wrote down that, you know, we're behind the eight ball. We have a 1-2 record. And he gets it. It's a bigger picture, right? It's a great win. Hey, celebrate a little bit. But he understands they have a big hiccup in the first 2 weeks. The other thing I loved is he talked about Caleb Williams. Just it's little things, right, about Caleb. We talked about he's going from college to the pros, of learning how to clap, to say a cadence, to call a play, that he actually is calling plays in the huddle better, maybe to an outside person. That's a big thing. It's a hard thing. I mean, that's a 17-word play or something like that. So he's learning. We're seeing growth from him. And he said he was cleaner at the line. We mentioned it earlier. It looks that way. He now looks like a pro quarterback. And that's exciting to me. And it was nice to kind of back up what I said earlier a little bit, that he mentioned let me pat myself on the back a little bit. That he mentioned that as well. And it was nice to see. And that's little things you maybe we don't think as fans, but it goes a long way to being able to be the field general and play the way he did, where the game starts slowing down for him. And it did today.
Yeah, and a big thing, Pat, I think that Coach Johnson hopefully will bring to the team is, like, you know, we have seen guys who get challenged and for 1 week can do it in the NFL.
Yes.
They can focus.
Yeah.
They can focus on the details. They can study film. They can do all the things they need to do for 1 or 2 or even 3 weeks, right? It's the 8, 9, 10, 11 weeks in a row of focus and holding the standard, right? And there's a saying in the NFL, once the standard slips, it's gone. Right. Once the standard slips, it's gone. So once you set this standard and you're doing these things and you get these results, you hope that your young team falls in love with the work because they know the results that's coming.
Real quick, Molly, the best coaches I played for, like just special teams coaches, and obviously I'm talking about Dave Tobe and like Sweatman and Keith Armstrong. But when we had games like that, we played well. It still wasn't good enough. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? He still called us out for all the stuff that we can be better. There's never a perfect game played. And all of what you're talking about, that standard, keep that standard high. And he talked about in his opening press conference, Ben Johnson, get comfortable being uncomfortable. It's okay to walk in tomorrow morning and be uncomfortable again after a win 31-14. There's still a lot of stuff on that tape you can get better at all across the board. Yes, it was a big win for the Bears, his first win and a commanding win, but there still needs to be that standard that you're talking about, and it's okay to be uncomfortable after a win of 31-14.
All right, we got to take a quick time out. We shall return quickly, and we will get back to the phone lines. You're listening to the Football Postgame Show, presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Higher.
Something we practice all week, and you know, we underthrew, either I underthrew Luther a couple times, and either missed it, and then you know, just building the belief and confidence with the guys, just communicating with them, and told Luther, just you know, you won't outrun me in the game, and you know, just run, and you know, they did a great job of line. You know, that's a flea flicker is a really long play, and so for them to be able to hold up and be able to, you know, allow DeAndre to, you know, toss the ball back to me, it kind of did a free throw kind of floater kind of thing, and you know, after that, just let it rip and let Luther go make a play.
Welcome back. It's the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. And that is the voice, of course, of Caleb Williams talking about the flea flicker and the touchdown play to Luther Burden. I think it's a good thing they practice it so he knows how fast that kid is. And he assured him he wouldn't outrun that ball, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think it's fun, too, just for us as Bears fans, that Ben Johnson is putting his foot on the pedal, man. He's calling what we've seen in Detroit, and he's feeling comfortable with his team to do that. And when he called, you know, Olin, I talked about earlier when Olin said run the ball in the fourth quarter, and he calls that wildcat end around thing as well. I mean, he's just setting the tone for his team. I think he's telling these guys, like, we're going to be aggressive. You know, on fourth down, he's going to go for it. He talked about that in the post game that, you know, we're going to do that. But also, I'm going to call the plays. If we practice them well, we're going to run them. And it does. It keeps that defensive coordinator on their toes. They line up and like, all right, what the heck are they going to do now? that maybe you dictate what the defense is going to do. You know, they're going to play a little safer on third and five or situational football, that you can call what you want to call and get after that defensive coordinator.
Yeah, like we talked about earlier, Molly, I liked when he called it. I liked he called it after Schottenheimer decided that he was going to kick a field goal, right? And I imagine a guy like Ben Johnson writing, "You're scared, I'm not. I'm calling this play," on his sheet, right? I imagine him saying that. Like, look, every analyst, anybody who watched these two teams going into this game had the score at about, you know, either 34 to 31, I think you guys had, or 31-28 or something in that area. And you knew that when you watch these two teams play, that field goals weren't going to be good enough, right? And now that was before CeeDee Lamb got hurt, is what you thought was going to happen in this game with all the injuries and stuff. And I think when he kicked that field goal, I like that Ben Johnson said, "You kick field goals, I throw flea flickers," right? I like that part of the way he attacks the game.
Yeah, I like that idea. And now I don't know if this matters to anybody, but just for the record, Bigsy tweeted out that our guy Joe Fortenbaugh in Las Vegas, man, in Connecticut, says that the Bears are installed as a 2-point underdog going into Vegas next weekend. And we know Tom Terrific was on the broadcast, so he stole all sorts of information, and he will be giving all the secret information to the coaching staff there. But what are your thoughts on the Bears? I mean, again, you know, winning at home, great to see. Winning on the road, much more difficult in the NFL.
Yeah, and Pete Carroll's unit, and I think Joe Woods is the D coordinator there. They're tough, man. I mean, it's going to be a good test for Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and this offense. And look, Pat, as far as Tom Brady goes, there is some truth to that, with him being around and be able to watch your team and hear the cadence and talk to people. And Tom is a smart guy, man. He knows how to find little ways, little things, so what else to look for to give people tips to win games. But also, Tom's also the kind of guy that whatever he sees a lot more on film than most people see, right? But then you put him in a booth, you put him around your team, he gets to be on the field for pregame warm-ups. It is an advantage for the Raiders that he gets to do that. And especially a guy like him, with the way he looks at football, for the things he's looking for. There is football savants, right? There are guys who see things that other people don't. And Tom Brady is one of them. But excited for Chicago Bears. And you know, basically that's a pick-em game, right, when the whole team has 2 points. Mully, you know betting a lot better than I do. And that's probably – I haven't watched the film yet of the Raiders and gone through the matchups and taken a good look at it. But that's probably about what I would think, just seeing them a couple times on TV.
Yeah, here's something to think about, too. I don't know the fans out in Las Vegas, right? Bears fans travel. It's Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder what the crowd's going to be like out there. Have people already bought the tickets knowing that the Bears were playing there? And will it really feel like a home game for the Raiders? I don't know what they are like out there. I haven't watched many of their games or know what their fans are like. But I do know the Bears fans travel. And this would be one I would think they would put on their list to go to go out there and see that new stadium and enjoy Vegas. So hopefully the Bears fans travel and it's not that much of a home field advantage for the Raiders.
Generally speaking, and it's not like it's shifted over the years, but you are credited with 3 points for being at home. So what you're saying is that the Bears might be favored at a neutral site. But, you know, the 3 points is what you get just by virtue of being at home. So you kind of look at it that way sometimes. I wonder how you feel about the Tom Brady thing, Pat, because, you know, I don't care whether there is something or there isn't. You know, perception becomes reality, and the perception is that they have an advantage. You've got a guy who learned at the feet of the master how to cheat or gamesmanship, whatever way you want to put it, and now he's an owner. And they spot him in the box with the headset on, perception becomes reality.
Yeah, my thing is, you said it right there. He's an owner, right? How many other owners are allowed in other buildings and be able to get intel?
None.
Zero, right? But Tom Brady's Tom Brady. The NFL treats him differently. I think everybody treats him differently, and I do think it's an advantage. I don't like it. I don't think he should be able to do that. I think when you're an owner, you shouldn't be able to be in the broadcast booth. I think his whole thing is just different. I don't know, but it is Tom Brady. I don't like it. That's it. I just don't like it.
Any lean for next week's game? Anybody leaning one way or another? I asked you if it's sustainable. Is this the beginning of a winning streak leading to a bye week?
I'm putting it on Caleb again,
drunk
Olin.
On the win. You're drunk on the win, Pat.
Hey, let's enjoy it until midnight. Then we'll
there we
turn
go.
The page.
That's right.
There we go.
Then we're on to the Raiders.
Yep.
Great stuff, guys. Really appreciate doing this and really enjoyed, finally, a nice win for the Bears. And want to thank Tyler Farengold for his great work getting everything lined up and paying attention to all our callers. And thanks to everyone for calling. This is, of course, the Football Post Game Show. It is presented by the fine folks at TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo Tire. Check them out, aturo.com. I'll be on tomorrow morning at 5:30 a.m. I believe, Olin, you will be joining us around 7, and Patrick will be on on Tuesday with Rahimi and Harris, and I believe Mark Grody, too. Does Grody join you, Pat? Because he sometimes won't join me. I don't know why. It's cruel. All right. Thanks to everyone, and congratulations to Ben Johnson and the Bears on the first victory of 2025, first victory of the new era in Bears football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.